I'm going to tell you up front that there is no good news in this week's Three Stories You Should Know, our weekly feature that gives two well-informed experts and one radio host the opportunity to present a story of the week. I'm joined by Shira Springer of the Boston Globe and sports writer Eric Malinowski. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I'm going to break with precedent this week and begin the discussion with my story. On Thursday, the U.S. Department of Justice announced the indictments of 16, count them, 16 additional FIFA officials. This brings the total number of FIFA officials indicted, arrested, or otherwise tripped up to not quite all of them yet. This is good, right? People have been talking about FIFA and how corrupt it is for decades, and some people are finally taking the fall for this. Whatever comes next, it cannot be as corrupt as FIFA has been. Am I right? You underestimate
FIFA. Yeah.
No. I think FIFA is gone. I think the question remaining is, once a sports governing body has been completely dismantled, how does it get reconstituted? Shira, take a shot at that for me.
Well, I think you've got to clean house, and you have got to bring somebody from outside of soccer in to run FIFA. Bring in a new leader, a new president, new vice presidents, new executive committee.
No, they keep going down the list and indicting the
exactly.
next guy who's available.
But there are some folks who are in contention for the presidency who are part of this whole ethics investigation, and they've been approved and said, okay, you can run for president. So I think you got to start looking at candidates maybe who don't have any background in FIFA or soccer nationally or internationally, corporations, former presidents and prime ministers.
If Mitt Romney is listening, even as we
You know what? I was going to say, Mitt Romney is a good candidate.
I thought it too.
Eric, folks involved in other sports, of course, have run afoul of the law. But would you agree that the FIFA mess seems to be unprecedented, at least in terms of the number of officials arrested at early morning raids in the same hotel in Switzerland?
You know, more than a good legal team, I think Sepp Blatter needs a better travel agent, to be frank.
Definitely.
But on that similar point, you know, lest we think of this as a quote-unquote European problem, the last three presidents of CONCACAF, which is the governing body of North American soccer, have all been arrested on corruption charges. Mm-hmm. So bottom line is, action is better than inaction.
And I think FIFA is going to have a run for its money from the IAAF, the International Governing Body for Track and Field when this whole doping scandal is investigated in full. I think you are going to see that organization tumble down as well. So FIFA's got some competition in the corruption department.
But that is not your subject today, Shira, right? I understand that you've been paying attention to an NBA rookie whom the commentators are certain to describe as, quote, troubled, because that seems to be the default adjective for young men like Jahlil Okafor.
Yes. This past week, 76ers rookie Jahlil Okafor was the star of video replays no pro athlete wants to see. He was captured fighting outside a Boston nightclub. One victim has already filed a police report, and there are reports of a possible lawsuit against Okafor in the making. This follows an incident where a heckler pointed a gun at Okafor's head after a verbal exchange at a Philadelphia club, and police stopped Okafor for going 108 miles per hour on a Philadelphia bridge with a 40-mile-per-hour speed limit. Everyone who knows him says he's a good guy, a good character guy.
Bad driver,
bad judgment. 76ers suspended him for two games. I think we really have to revisit the age limit, because if you have a kid like Okafor, he's 19 years old and he's a superstar. He is just not prepared for what the NBA brings.
Well, I agree with Shira. Two games is certainly not enough to disincentivize this sort of behavior, although you would think that the many millions of dollars that he's now earning to play professional basketball would be enough to disincentivize it. You know, there's only one player on this roster who was born before 1990. And that's Carl Landry, who is the old veteran of this squad at the age of 32. So, you know, everybody else on this team, literally every other member of the roster, is younger than 25. Okafor himself is not even 20 years old yet. So I wonder, we talk about veteran leadership and we almost talk about it in such an abstract way at this point. I wonder if we're not seeing the effects of the absence of that.
It might be part of the solution to it, because over the years, I sure have heard a lot of stories on a lot of different teams where an older player takes a younger player aside and says, let me take you to the shop and buy you some clothes so you'll look like a major leaguer. Let me explain the tip that you should leave when you go to a restaurant. Those are small things. But hey, let me show you how you should behave as an adult.
But I'm wondering if it's more than that, though. If you don't have that leadership on your team, if you don't have that veteran you can count on, then the team has to step in and do something. And I've, you know, covered young teams with the Celtics where Danny Ainge has provided that leadership and that direction for younger players who are, quite frankly, lost when they arrive in the NBA.
Eric, I understand that you've been looking forward to the next few editions of the Olympic Games. Actually, looking forward might be misunderstood in this case. You're sounding alarm bells, right?
Well, you know, the IOC looks downright functional compared to something like FIFA. But it doesn't mean that, you know, they're not getting by unscathed these days. It was a really weird week in terms of Olympic news. Hamburg, Germany, the voters there rejected a referendum by a 52-48 margin that effectively drops them out of the running for the 2024 Summer Olympics. So we're down to four potential bid cities there. Beijing, which is hosting the 2022 Winter Olympics, came under a blanket of smog this week that was about as thick as pea soup. It was absolutely disgusting. And the city of Rio de Janeiro, which itself is just about 8 months away or so from hosting its own Summer Olympics, is looking at major budget overruns.
So it's a political turmoil.
Who knows if they'll have a president by the time the Olympics take place.
Right.
Who here can host the Olympics? You know, how viable is this? I don't know. Are we going to see the end of the Olympics in our lifetimes?
Shira, what do you think? What's your take on the future of the Games?
I don't think we'll see the end of the Olympics in our lifetimes. What I do think we'll see is permanent host cities. Let's say four or five Winter Olympic host cities and four or five Summer Olympic host cities, because it can't keep going this way and survive. I mean, if I'm the IOC, forget the pea soup in China and the lack of air conditioning in Rio. What's really concerning me is Hamburg voting down its bid, because this is part of a trend. This is now, I believe, the seventh or eighth city that has declined or dropped out of the bidding process in the last 4 or 5 years. And that has got to really raise alarm bells for them.
I agree with you. That, to me, is the most intriguing part of this whole story, that a bunch of people, citizens, basically said, no, thank you very much. And I wonder if that means that the Olympics of the future will all be set in countries where the people don't have the opportunity to say no, thank you very much.
Singapore, Doha.
Right. Russia, China. Mm-hmm. I mean, and where the money, the economics never becomes public.
So one of the other host bid cities for 2024 is Rome. And the leader of that bid came out and said that, you know, we're not going to have a referendum here in Rome because the Italians are, quote, very passionate. I don't think you need to do a referendum. They're not even going to broach that possibility for fear of what it might happen.
Note to the bid leader in Rome, the folks who were leading the bid in Boston also said something about not needing a referendum.
That worked out fine.
Yeah, that worked out really well.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Shira Springer and Eric Malinowski. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bill.